Now, this morning we'll be looking at some very small verses. The first, well, four verses, I think. The first will be in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Just one verse there. Paul was writing to these Christians and he was telling them a bit of how they ought to behave and why they ought to behave in this particular fashion. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I said one verse, we read two, verses 31 and 32, and my focus is on verse 32. Whether therefore, and I forgot again. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you for the joy of coming in your presence and the privilege you've given to us of reading your word. We ask of thee as we do so today that we'll open our eyes to behold the precious truths contained therein. Guide us in the reading and bless us in our meditation. And not only remember us here, but wherever your word is uplifted before thy people and before the gaze of sinful men, we pray that people may commit their beings to you and trust in you. We thank you because the word is so wonderful. Bless your people. We ask it in thy name for your glory. Amen. Amen. Verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Psalm 37. And verse 10. Between 10 and 11. Focuses on verse 11. For yet, for a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be found, shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Another psalm, Psalm 9. And verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13. But I would not that you have to, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of God, the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. About a month ago, we considered for a little while that precious saint called Anna. We saw how Anna was probably married in her early teens. She lived with her husband for 7 years. And after his death, she spent about 84 years of her life fasting and praying and being around the temple. Her purpose was to wait for redemption in Jerusalem. Not only Anna waited, but others also waited for redemption in Israel. Why would they do this? Why would she persist for 84 years resting and going and praying and fasting for this, until God allowed her to recognize a baby as the one who would come into the world to be the Messiah, to free Israel? You see, God had given many precious promises to Israel. He made promises through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I love the one he gave through his servant David. If you mind, you could turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 7. Just after Nathan came and told him of the glorious promise from God, this is what he said in 2 Samuel chapter 7. The whole chapter is beautiful. I just want us to read from verse 10. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, and they shall dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of the wicked afflict them any more. Verse 12. Rather, verse 13. 12. And when thy days be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, he told David, and I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish thy kingdom, and shall build a house for thy name, and will establish the throne of thy kingdom forever. Verse 16, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee, and thy throne shall be established forever. The promise of God. through David, his servant, on his lineage, on the end of Israel, they shall be established forever. They shall stay in the land, and none shall make them afraid. There are similar verses by the prophets, and think of Micah. The book of Micah is very, very precious to me, and we look at Micah chapter 4. The focus here is that you've got three types of people, as we read. The Jews, the Gentiles, and the Church of God. Each with a particular end and focus. Each with a particular expectation. The expectation of the Jewish people, based on the promises given by the Lord to choose prophets and true various servants, is a precious life on this earth. When in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5, the Lord Jesus Christ quoted Psalm 37 and verse 11, he was speaking of kingdom issues. Blessed are the meek, he said in Matthew 5 and 5, for the meek shall inherit the earth. He was speaking of kingdom issues, and he was the king if they had accepted him then, but they didn't. So we see here the promises to fulfill that. Another picture of what's going to happen tomorrow, the Jewish, the hope of the Jews on this earth. Verse 1 says, of chapter 4, but in the days, last days, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. And for the law shall go forth out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge. Verse 4. Verse 3. The part of verse 3 is found in the United Nations in New York. So you could well read it. And he shall judge among many nations, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And nation shall not rise, lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. That will never happen until the Lord Jesus Christ comes. You can have those words in the United Nations, in New York there, but it won't happen. When he comes as Prince of Peace and rules with that rod of iron, this will be fulfilled. This is the Jewish hope for them as a nation. And they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. No more missiles flying in from left, right, and center. No one shall make them afraid. They have to bargain about it, because the Lord will reign over them and he will set them straight. And for the mouth of the Lord had spoken this. And if you want to check it and enjoy it more, you can just read the whole chapter, Micah 4 and 5 and 6. The last verse, the last part of verse 7 says, and the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth even forevermore. And you see that the Lord is reigning, and the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. I want to emphasize here that the whole beauty, the whole purpose of that verse, the meek shall inherit the earth, it refers to God protecting those who will not strike back. And he will bring the victory. He will bring the victory, and from Jerusalem will flow the word of God, and out of Jerusalem will flow plenty. And the fruits will blossom fruit, and everything is precious. They will rule in Jerusalem. This is the Jewish hope. This is the Jewish hope. You know, I sometimes think of a little song which children sing. Every promise in the book is mine. You know that song? Every chapter, every verse, every line. A lovely song. But not strictly biblical, you see. Because not every promise in the book is mine. Some promises were made to Abraham specifically. Some were made to Isaac. Some were made to David. Promises to him. Then promises were made to nations. Each promise, every act of God in the Old Testament, I can look at it. For it tells the nature of God. It tells me something about God, and I can trust God's word. But the specific promise might not apply to me. In our age too, people take promises that apply to Israel and pull them in to the church. The lambs and the lion lying down together. That's a promise for Israel, because the meek inherits the earth. When Jesus walked upon this earth, they are very anxious to have that kingdom age. All the disciples came back, and in the book of Luke, they said when he was going up to Jerusalem, they thought he was going there now to receive the kingdom. And they were anxious about that. You're going to see the king, but he didn't go to receive the kingdom at that point. He was going to Jerusalem to die. Heading to Jerusalem that last time, James and John came to him and said, when you get into your kingdom, grant us the request of one sitting on the right hand and one on the left. They said, the king will reign and we will share in that glory. Even after his death and his resurrection, they were anxious as Jews for the establishment of this kingdom. Lord, will thou at this time restore unto us the kingdom of Israel? But no, they had to wait. They were correcting thinking that God will, that the king will rule upon this earth and they'll be free and none shall make them afraid. But the timing was not right. You see, the church is a brand new thing. It was brand new to them. They couldn't understand it. Even a precious verse like, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. They could not grasp the full meaning of that simple verse. You know why? It was hid from them. If you look at Ephesians chapter 3, you'll understand what I mean. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's look at verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given unto me, given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, and note that word mystery, which I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in the ages and the other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit,
that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I made a minister. What he's saying here is that to have Jews and Gentiles in one body was a brand new thing. In the Old Testament, you spoke of the Israelites or the Jews. Matter of fact, the word Jews comes from Judah. Okay? The Jews. And if you're not a Jew, then you're a Gentile. It's the same word is translated sometimes heathen or nations. So you've got there, on the one hand, the Jews, on the other hand, the Gentiles or the heathen or the nations. But Paul is saying here that from the Jews and from the Gentiles will come a special group of people which we today call the Church of God, and this was not known in the Old Testament. This was not known. And the end and the hope of that church is completely different from the end or hope of the Jews, nor the end or hope of the Gentiles. A simple thing. You know, we read just now of a portion in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We read of what we call the rapture, the snatching away. That was not known in the Old Testament like that. They believed in resurrection in a sense. At least some people did. But they did not know of the rapture. That was also a mystery. For a moment, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Another mystery. The church is a mystery and was not known in the Old Testament. And the rapture was a mystery and not known in the Old Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 51 and 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. And when Paul spoke of mystery in Ephesians and he spoke of mystery in Colossians, he's saying of something which is now made known that was at one time hidden. So this is a mystery. A brand new thing he was mentioning here. It could not have been in the Old Testament, yet it applied to the church. It says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. And by sleep he means die. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And forgive my being funny here. At some nursery in some hospital in England, they had that sign. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. The meaning was twisted kind of bit. It said, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, verse 53, for this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. A brand new thing. That we are alive here today. Brother Doug in his mentioned just now, he said, he may come today. That's true. I don't know exactly when we come, but God wants you and me to be ready for his coming at all times, end times. When the dead shall rise, and those who belong to him who are alive will be changed instantaneously and to be with the Lord forever. This is the hope of the Christian. This is the end. We shall be with him in heaven. Our hope is not immediately on earth. Of course, when we are raptured, eventually we'll come and reign with Christ over the earth. But we will not come, our hope is in heaven. We are a heavenly people. One other verse emphasizes that point is in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Maybe a couple of verses rather than one. Verses 20 and 21. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. For our conversation, our manner of life, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile or weak or humble bodies, that it may be fashioned unto like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. You're looking forward for the rapture. It's amazing that God loved us so that he gave his son for us and calls us out of the world. Whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, he's calling all out unto him that we might know forgiveness. It is not without significance that after Jesus died, the Lord Jesus Christ died and rose again, and disciples were focusing on the things that are on this earth, he sought to redirect their thinking to heaven and to their mission. You know what he said? Look at, if you look for me in Luke chapter 24. And this is where we come in today. Luke 24. He not only confirmed the resurrection, but told them what they must be doing. Verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of the Moses and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins, forgiveness of sins, should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Their job was to go out and tell people that simple. You're all sinners. Repent of your sins. Come trust Christ, and your sins will be blotted out, and you have a hope. You know, Paul, when Peter was writing, Peter spoke of the hope he had. He said, he's going to put off this body as Christ showed me. 2 Peter chapter 1. He's going to pass this body. He's going to leave this tent as God, Jesus, showed him. One day I'm looking, yearning for that time when I too will leave this tent. The point is this, we must be ready. God wants us to be ready, because we don't want to be among the people who will neglect or reject the salvation that God offers us now. Because the scripture says in Psalm 9:17, what? The wicked shall be cast into hell, shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. So God has left those who have trusted him with a solemn responsibility upon this earth. The responsibility to live witnessing for him. There are a couple of verses that tend to emphasize this. There are many verses. But let me just pull two. One, or maybe one. In Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 2. We must watch our walk. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians, this verse gives us security, but it gives us challenge. Verse 1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, set your minds, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above. Get our focus right. Not on the things of this earth. Because earth is passing. And in whatever you do, eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do it to his glory. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. There is a security in him. A security in him. In Colossians 1, pause a minute there, and hold that. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5, there is a verse which says here, verse 5 says, for the hope, verse 4 says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have for all saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. The hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Laid up for us in heaven. Peter spoke of this hope, this inheritance that's reserved for us in heaven. 1 Peter 1:5. But we're back here to Colossians 3. Yes. Set your affections and things, your mind and things above, not on the things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, Christ, my life, Christ, our life. He's the real thing. He is our lives. God is my life. The Word is my life. And Christ is the substance of my life. So when they crush the body, they're not touching you. You're safe in Christ. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. The end is secure. It's a heavenly thing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God when once you place your faith in Christ. The weakest saint, the youngest saint, every one of us, covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, covered by his robes of righteousness, in him, safe in him. But God left us here to shine for him. God asks us to reflect his glory. And therefore the next couple of verses are very serious. He says, consider yourself dead. Mortify therefore your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things the wrath of God cometh on children of disobedience. In which also you also walked in such times. But now put away these things. Put away these things because we've got a new hope. God has changed us. We've got a new hope. Put away these things. And live for the God who loves us and gave himself for us. You know what? Let's for a moment turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. You'll see this combination, the whole thing brought together there. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 2 says, and I'm focusing on verse 3. Verse 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Note it. His divine power, you have come to Christ in simple faith, you have trusted Him. He's given us all things that pertain to life. Who is our life? Christ. He's given us life. He says, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. And God in Christ has given us all things that pertain to life. But not only life, what says here? And godliness. God fits us, guides us, teaches us, corrects us, encourages us, not only to rejoice in the life that He gives, but He empowers us to walk before men in godliness. Continue reading that verse. I like that combination. Through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory and to virtue. That combination again. He called us to glory. This is our hope. Glory. But not only to glory, but He's called us to virtue, excellence, praises. As God wants us, as we walk in this life today, those who know the Lord, by His grace, by His power, and His power alone, can we walk to honor Him. Life, godliness, glory, virtue, nothing that we can praise ourselves that we are wonderful people. Everything because God is so good. To Him be the glory. Would to God when we consider the Lord Jesus Christ, we are drawn to Him in love. We yield our beings to Him. And remember, we got a charge of going out as witnesses, because there are many out there who some might not fully understand their positions outside of Christ. Because the wicked shall be cast into hell, and all the nations that forget God. So we humbly walk before Him. We quietly and effectively share Him, that in all things He might be glorified. Whether you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God, giving none offense to the Jews, to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You abundantly for Your grace and Your mercy towards us. We thank You, O God, for Your love. You said in Your word that all things are naked and opened in the eyes of whom we have to do. We know Your eyes are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. But we thank You, O Lord, that You sent Your Son to die for our sins on the cross of Calvary, that we might have hope, that we might have life, that we might share in Your glory. And for this, O God, we give You thanks abundantly. We thank You, O God, that with repentance and faith in You, there is remission of sins. We ask, O God, that those of us who have trusted Thee may know the power and the joy of living for Thee day after day in this world, doing all to Your glory. If perchance there is anyone here who does not have that hope, they may switch from the certainty of hell in which they will be cast if they reject Thee, and they may turn to Thy Son, who is beckoning lovingly to each one
to come and find rest. So bless thy word, O God, to our hearts, and use us today and every day to bring glory to your name. For we ask these things in the name of thy Son, O Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.